Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of riveting, in fact, of the new dude, the naked Englishman, whatever you want to call him, the man stripped of all jolliness. Yes, talking to strangers, as Julia says. 16th of April, 2025. I have a... just looking in my dear diary. Dear diary, what am I doing today?
I'm not telling you.
Please tell me, please.
No, I'm not telling you.
Boom. I'll find out soon enough. Thank you very much. Yes, I've got an interview at 4 today. He's a jolly good fellow. Yesterday, I was working on the old book. I had some very difficult bits. I always say that, don't I? It's very difficult. Well, it's, you know, one's got to get one's fingers on the typing thing and type, and one's got to look at those radiating screens. It was all very difficult. So I did that. Worked quite hard on that, but I did finish early. I think it's important not to strain yourself. Otherwise, you end up with a hernia, don't you? So,
Or a hisnia,
which is...
If you're a boy.
Yes, if you're a boy, you get a hisnia. And I'm still trying to work out whether I'm a boy or a girl.
I'll let you know when I've found out.
He says, in a very high-pitched woman's voice.
Yeah, that's right.
We listened last night to episode 7 of Muckle Bunt, which might mean nothing to you, but it meant something to us.
It meant everything to me.
And there's only one more of those to listen to, and I need to record some more and write the remains of that script. We had a lovely meal, which was a sort of cottage pie with...
it was a hot pot, a kind of cottage pie slash hot pot, wasn't it?
With slashed potatoes on the top.
Yes, yeah, sliced buttered potatoes on the top.
Which is very nice, actually. Yes, I think I kind of excelled myself. I gobbled it all up very quickly, as often I do. What else happened? I went for a walk in the middle of the day as the sun came out, and I had to sit down on a park bench and smoked me pipe. You know, that was nice. I enjoyed that. And then I strolled back and cracked on with it. And on the way back, there was this chap where Hemico, which is an outfit putting in these underground heating pipes for the government offices and the hospital, apparently, public buildings, I suppose. He was doing traffic management. And I happened to cross where all these cones were, so no traffic could go there. And he went, can you try and use the pavement, mate? And I strode up to him, ready to sort of do battle with him. And he carried on saying, because I don't see a registration number on your back. I said, who wants to be registered? And he said, oh, yes, well, you know, all the birth certificates, that's all registered. And, you know, it's all in our trust fund. And I said, oh, you actually know about that then, do you? He said, yes, I know about that, probably worth millions. He said, so what are you doing here? Doing a bit of traffic management. He said, well, I've got to earn a living. And yes, it was quite unusual, really. Anyway, I had a brief chat with him about pipes. Not smoking pipes, water pipes in the ground. It was very odd.
I take it wasn't the fellow you'd spoken to before.
No, it was a different bloke.
Different bloke.
Different bloke, yeah.
He was a bit weird.
Yeah, they're all very nice people in their own way.
Yes, in their own way. Well, I'm allowed to say that about security guards. My ex is one.
Ah, there you go.
I say that jestingly. Well, I mean it. He is one. But
I used to do security.
Yeah.
I was...
Someone's got to do it.
Yeah, I didn't. During the time I was in London, I had this job doing security, and I was at mime school for some of it, and we'd done a mask workshop, and... I was making these masks from a mould, they took a mould of my face, and then onto that I moulded in plasticine a comedy mask, a half mask, Commedia dell'arte stuff, and I would stick these bits of newspaper on, plus with
paper
PVA
mache.
Glue.
Papier-mâché.
Yes. So... what was interesting about that is that I was in the car park at TVAM I'd been, I think I'd said, oh yes, I remember I'd put down this ideas for the Whack-A-Day thing and they didn't like me, so they moved me to the car park. So don't let him in the building again. He's too much trouble. I should have known then. Anyway, that's a story in itself, but I'll tell that another day. I've probably told it anyway. Anyway, the point was, I was sitting there as a security guard in a little garden hut, just acknowledging cars coming and going. They didn't really want me to do anything to stop anyone, to question anybody or anything. I just had to be there for the insurance policy. So they didn't really care what I did. So in the end, I brought in this mould that I was doing and the papier-mâché, and I was sitting there. They must have thought it was bizarre. They were coming in and there's this security guard, dressed as a security guard, with a peaked cap and a blue uniform, epaulettes and tie and all this sort of bollocks, sitting with a paintbrush, some torn-up newspaper, some PVA glue, and sticking them onto a mask. And a few people came and said, oh, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, I've been at mime school and blah, blah, blah. I've got to make these masks and I'm just sitting here. They didn't want me to. They said, I don't blame you, mate. Otherwise, you sit there and you read books and things, which I did as well. They didn't really care. They just, you were there as an insurance policy and it was made very clear. But, and I think I was on something like £2.30 an hour back then. Can you imagine it? £2.30 an hour, 12-hour shift. Oh, they were the happy days. Happy days. If only I was back there again, not. Thank you. Yeah, but we all do these things, don't we? We do the shit jobs and we have to make the best of them. And unfortunately, these days, a lot more people are doing, they're not transitory jobs that they do and move on to something better. So people are stuck in these hideous jobs. And it's more hideous when you're told you're only there for the insurance policy, that actually you're serving no purpose at all. So there you go. Anyway, that was that. So that was back to my, I don't know how we got onto that, making masks and things, but or funny jobs or security or whatever.
No, I don't know.
Oh, yes, because the road traffic management bloke. That's right. There you go. See? The burbling way of the burbles, which is a good burbling way to be. Yeah, if you've got the burbles, make sure you burble them in the right way. Hello, puss.
Meow.
Yep, you've been fed. You can see that he's licking his chops. We started Post of Honour. I think I mentioned it the other day. The second in the RF Delderfields Horseman Riding By trilogy, which
Englishman.
I think it's a horseman riding by, isn't it? Or is it an Englishman riding by? No, God is an Englishman is a separate book.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And I'm halfway through that one. That's a tome. He did write tomes. Poor bugger. He died at 66, and that's interesting, isn't it? And somebody else who died at 66 was Fred Dibner. And I was watching a, it came up on my phone whilst I was cooking and I thought I'll just have it on in the background whilst I'm cooking. It was a documentary from 1979 of Fred Dibner.
Was he the chimney climber?
Yeah. And he was talking about his life. And this was kind of at the beginning, I suppose, of his fame. It was right at the beginning. He died at 66. And he said...
Didn't fall off a chimney, did he?
No. He said in the documentary, he said, I won't fall off a chimney. He said, but that would be how I'd like to go when I'm about 75. I don't want to die in some sort of cancer or something like that. Well, sadly, he died of cancer. Yeah. But he was still filming stuff for various television companies. Made in Britain, I think, was one of his TV series and various other things. And it's all on YouTube now. You can go and watch them. And yes, fearlessly would climb up these huge chimneys or these church towers. He was a steeplejack. And he would demolish them. I mean, he was, you know, he used to do it in the proper way, brick by brick. He did knock one down by a bit like chopping a tree, putting a great dirty great hole at the bottom of one of these chimneys, setting a fire to it, and the fire weakens the bricks and mortar, I think. And it all comes down in one great swoop, as opposed to blowing it up, which he didn't like. because there was a skill to his version of it, which was an old version, sort of what they used to do. But these old chimneys, as he said, you know, this would have taken two or three men many years or months to put the chimney up, and then two men to knock it down. And he said, you know, to blow it up was just too easy. You press a button or push the plunger, whatever, and then it's gone in seconds. However, you know, there were days, he said, there were days when he didn't want to go in and he would just tinker with his traction engine. And he became in love with his traction engine and famous for driving his traction engine around places. Interesting life, isn't it? People have some fascinating and interesting lives. And of course, his life was made, I suppose, enhanced by his fame on television, I suppose. Back in the times when television was probably worth doing. That's why I wanted to be on television. It was what I wanted to do back then. But even in the 90s, it had changed when I was doing Snug and Cozy. And it had become a real bed of sin. And I'm glad I'm not in it. I'm glad I'm not associated with it, in actual fact. But there you go. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, waffling on about nothing in particular. Hope you have a wonderful day. Hoping that the sun comes out. I've got more book writing to do. I've got an interview at 4. Julie's doing a hillbilly dance routine at 6. And then we've got to work out what we're doing for cooks. We get some cooks to boil up and bash on the head and scoop out their brains. Nice, tasty. Anyway.
All right, Hannibal.
Sorry about that. Until the next one, thank you for listening, and I will catch up with you soon. Toodle-pip.